You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari, W., and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
You know, growing up in the 70s, most kids were pretty feral, but we were especially so. And I come from a large family, and it was pretty chaotic. There were 8 kids.
Jean Westcott grew up in upstate New York with 2 brothers and 5 sisters.
My father was a bit of a jock in his high school days, and so, like, we played, there were enough of us that we could play basketball against each other, and we would play baseball, and it just was, we were just raised to be competitive.
They were even competitive when they were watching television.
I started watching Jeopardy with my family, probably. It had to be Art Fleming, but I don't remember. I just remember the questions. But vying for attention was something that we would have to do, you know, because there were so many of us.
Name of the flag with white skull and crossbones on a black field. Todd.
Was it Jolly Roger?
The Jolly Roger. Well done. You're in the lead, sir.
It was always exciting when I could know the answer, even when I was really little. You know, it was... It got me the attention from my father. I got to, like, have a little bit of bragging rights. And so it was something that we did when my dad was in the house. He was in and out of our lives, but it was something that was always a constant. And
so would you sit around with your father and your brothers and sisters and all be sitting around and be calling out the answers?
Yeah, you know, and, you know, obviously, a lot of them were beyond our ability, but it was just, you know, and it was chaos, but we we always had a way of making ourselves heard.
Jean spent a lot of her childhood at the local library. She thinks this gave her an edge during her family's Jeopardy nights.
I would read everything. It wasn't necessarily to prove that I knew everything. It was just I wanted to know everything. And, you know, that's not something that's rewarded socially very much.
And when you would be there and you'd get it right, you know, do you remember your father looking at you and saying, good job, Jean, or kind of nodding in approval?
No, it was definitely would have been silent approval. it was because he wanted it. You know, it was his ego as well.
When you would watch Jeopardy as a little girl with your father and your brother and sisters, would you think to yourself, I want to do that one day?
No, it was, TV was so like much like another planet, you know, I never connected it as to something that was logical or attainable.
Jean went on to study politics and economics in college and was a DJ at her college radio station. She later moved to D.C. and worked at a bookstore while also going to law school. In 1990, she met a man named Sean Westcott, and they got married. They had a son and daughter. She continued one of her father's traditions with her children, playing along with television game shows.
when I would watch TV with my kids, we had like, you know, we'd watch The Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, and the local news. We would play it together. And my oldest was, you know, suitably impressed. And he's like, you should try out. You should try out.
For the first time in the late 90s or early 2000s, Jean Westcott took the idea of trying out for Jeopardy seriously. She decided she would audition, but she wasn't picked.
And it was disappointing, but at the same time, I loved it, and I wanted to do it again.
So she auditioned again, and then again, and again, for years.
Over 20 decades.
I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Love. We'll be right back. Support for This Is Love comes from Shopify. If you've ever had a dream of starting your own business, Shopify can be a great place to start. Shopify is an online platform that lets you sell things online and in person, and makes it incredibly easy to accept all kinds of different payment methods, figure out how to charge taxes, how to charge shipping, and get detailed top-down views on how your sales are going. Some of your favorite brands already rely on Shopify to power their online shops, like Rothy's, Brooklinen, and Allbirds. But you don't need to be well-established to use Shopify. They'll help you at every stage of your business and have tools to help people who are just starting out, like their AI-powered tool, Shopify Magic, or their built-in marketing tools that can help you create and analyze campaigns. Shopify grows with your business, no matter how far or big you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/thisislove, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/thisislove now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/thisislove.
Embracing nature is more than just going for a walk now and then. It's reconnecting with the elements. It's harnessing the power of natural ingredients. It's putting the earth first. For over 50 years, Nature's Sunshine has been sharing the healing power of nature as they work towards a healthier planet. Their manufacturing facility is 100% powered by sunlight, and they divert 95% of waste away from landfills. If you're looking for a sustainably made herbal supplement, you might want to check out Nature's Sunshine and their new power line. Power Beets are a superfood performance booster that can help enhance both performance and blood flow. And Power Meal is a satisfying protein-packed superfood shake that comes in sustainable packaging made with nearly 40% post-consumer recycled plastics. Now that's something you can feel good about. This Earth Month, you can enjoy 25% off your first order with code NSP. Just go to naturesunshine.com. That's naturesunshine.com and use code NSP for 25% off your first order.
Jeopardy! Was created by television host Merv Griffin. He remembered his wife, Julanne, coming up with the idea in 1963. What if a quiz show gave the answers to the contestants and they had to come up with the questions? If you want to try out for Jeopardy! Today, you need to take a test online. Bess Truman was born in this state in 1885. What is Missouri? The title of this song, a number two hit by Drake, refers to a late-night cell phone call. What is Hotline Bling? If you pass, you'll be invited to audition for Jeopardy! By video conference. Before the pandemic, you'd be invited to a regional in-person audition. These were held in various cities across the U.S. But in the 90s, each region had their own way of narrowing down thousands of applicants. One former contestant remembered having to call a phone number for the local television station. He got a busy signal for 90 minutes before making it through. Another contestant remembered hearing that if you sent a postcard to the local television station, you could be chosen to audition. On the last possible evening, he drove to the television station and put it in the box, and he got picked. Jean Westcott lived in Washington, D.C., which happened to be one of the cities that regularly hosted Jeopardy tryouts.
And it had nothing to do with skill at that point. It was just being chosen.
And tell me, before that first audition, did you prepare? Did you spend a lot of time practicing?
Well, there's a couple things that I think that everyone needs to practice and everyone knows their weak spots. But I think general knowledge of the presidents in order, as far as knowing their dates, knowing the basic plot points of the major Shakespearean plays, couple operas, Your Bodies of Water, Take a Look at an Atlas. You know, but I didn't study heavy because I knew that the questions are like in the show, that they come from everywhere. What I would do, and I worked in a bookstore for 17 years. One thing I would pick up the World Almanac because I could look, okay, Oscar winners, you know, that was my study material. And anytime I went to an audition, I would busy myself in the process of getting to the audition or waiting for the audition, just reading through the pages of the almanac.
Back then, Jeopardy auditions began with a written test.
And you'd be called in groups. There's a bunch of nervous people who I hadn't realized how far people had driven to get there. A lot of people had driven 4, 6, 8, 10 hours to get to the audition. I guess the first couple, we were like a big group, probably 60 to 80 people. And we would all sit down and you'd get the introduction and there would be a slideshow of questions, you know, and you would take a test in the room. And then while they were grading the test, they would have us watch a little introductory video and grade the test. Then they would come out and they would dismiss everyone who hadn't qualified. So that was a pretty tense way of doing things. And, you know, especially just seeing the looks on people's faces after all that investment in time and energy. And everyone had to come dressed as if they were on the show. So it was pretty nerve-wracking. And then...
So these are people that had kind of dressed up.
Oh, everybody. Yeah, we were all in business attire. They tell you to dress as if you were appearing on the show.
Jean remembers about 2/3 of the people in the room with her were dismissed, but she made the cut.
It made me happy, and it reinforced that I belonged. I had so much enthusiasm from coworkers and from my family and my brothers and sisters. You know, everyone believed I could do it. And I'm glad I didn't disappoint them or disappoint myself, that I'm like, okay, I can do it.
Everyone who made it past the written test went on to the next stage. So you get through, and then you stand up in groups. And is it kind of like you have a Alex Trebek-type host who's now you feel like you're really playing?
Yeah, it was. So you're standing up, and you don't have the pedestal you're standing behind, so you feel a little naked. They hand you little buzzers, and they tell you to speak up and be enthusiastic, all the coaching you would expect, you know, if they're trying to produce good TV. They ask you questions, and you knew you were up against strong players, but you still wanted to win.
Jean did well at that mock game. All of her responses were correct. But there is still one last part of the process.
That little personality interview, you know, when they ask you about yourself. And it was fun in that they tried to keep it light and there were a lot of jokes. Oh, and they took Polaroids of everyone and we had to write down some prompts for interesting stories to discuss with the host. And So, yeah, it was pretty tense. And you walk out just saying, okay, you're in the pool. But at the same time, you saw fear.
What do they say? Do they say, go home and we'll call you if we need to?
Yes, sometime in the next 18 months. It was weird because you never got rejected. You just never got chosen.
So you got home thinking, okay, maybe I'll get a phone call.
Yep.
And then for 18 months, you just have to sit and wait.
Yep.
She never heard back. But Jean says she had such a great time at the audition, she couldn't wait to try again. But according to the rules of the show, she wasn't allowed to come back during this waiting period.
I would say the hardest thing was you couldn't take the next year's test. Like when you were in the pool, when you were in the eligibility pool, you couldn't take it again.
So after those 18 months were up and you realized that, okay, I didn't get picked, but I can now be eligible to take the test again, did you do it right away?
Yes, yes.
Just like the first time, Jean made it past the written test, did well on her mock game, and then didn't hear back. So after you didn't make it through on the second round, I mean, were you trying out every 18 months, every time?
Yes. Yep, every time. And because I think it was only once a year, and so it would be every other year. And each time they gave you a little bit of, they gave you a pen. Just the button action is the same as the buzzer. And so they say, when you play at home, ring in. And we started to make sets of rules in my family when we played that I had to wait until Alex had finished reading the question.
She had to wait because contestants are only allowed to buzz in after the last syllable of the clue is read. If you ring in too soon, your buzzer gets locked for a quarter of a second. The buzzer has been called totally diabolical.
So, like, my husband, if he knew it, he could shout it out before, and, like, he would get the non—we didn't keep score, but he would get that one because he could ring in at any time and or blurt out the answer, but I had to wait.
In 2004, Ken Jennings won 74 games in a row, setting the record for most consecutive games won. And today, he's the host of Jeopardy! He said that in high-level games, buzzer timing, quote, tends to separate the winner from the non-winners. Contestants have tried to figure out the best way to hold the buzzer. Sideways, with two hands, even brace it on the podium. Jean continued going to auditions as often as she could. She went to so many that she started to recognize members of the Jeopardy! Crew.
Maggie Speak was the contestant coordinator at the time during most of these. She recognized me. Like, I remember once I had dyed my hair and she loved the color, you know. So, I mean, it was like I knew the people. They were the same people every time.
What parts of the audition process did you like? What were your favorite parts?
The standing up and answering questions, you know, like the standing there with the buzzer and doing it, because it felt very much like a kind of like a sports kind of thing, you know. I enjoyed that the best. And I would take tests for fun. I mean, I always love taking tests. It's the opposite of test anxiety. I know that's weird.
In 2014, a Washington Post reporter covered the local auditions in D.C. Word got around that there was a person there who had tried out 9 times. The reporter wrote, I asked around until I found that determined soul. Jean told the reporter that trying out for Jeopardy! Was her hobby. But she was starting to question why she wasn't getting picked.
As I auditioned over and over and over and over and over again, I started to, like, second guess, like, well, one, I'm overweight. And so I'm like, oh, am I too fat? And then you're like, Oh, did I not choose the right clothes? Oh, is it my personality? You know, and it's just like I took comfort in that I was competing in D.C. and I knew that there was a bit of an overrepresentation from people from D.C. And while I never practice, I have a law degree. So I'm like, oh, God, an attorney from D.C., they they have enough of those. And so I would kind of console myself with, okay, it's, you know, they just don't need another person from D.C. But even that didn't work sometimes. I just felt like a big failure, you know, so.
Because you knew that you were getting all the questions, right? So it must be something about you, your personality, the way
exactly.
You looked.
Yeah, it's like, it's not a matter of, it is you.
Did you ever get to a point, you know, after the third or fourth audition, fifth audition, where you thought, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm trying really hard and they're not picking me. I'm not doing it.
No. The thing is, at some point I was like, this is just who I am. This is the girl who applies, tries, does well, doesn't get on.
Jean Westcott kept auditioning for over 20 years. To her knowledge, nobody has tried out for Jeopardy as many times as she has. And then, in February 2021, she got a phone call.
It said, hi, this is, I think it was Glenn from Jeopardy. We're going to be calling you within the next 24 hours. They said, don't worry, it's not bad news.
We'll be right back. Support for This Is Love comes from Indeed. Indeed is a matching and hiring platform with a matching engine built to help you find quality candidates fast. According to a recent Indeed survey, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. Indeed leverages more than 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. That way, their matching engine is constantly learning to find you the right candidate. You can get unparalleled access to job seekers with more than 350 million monthly unique visitors globally and an extended reach through Glassdoor. All of this means you can cut down on the time you spend looking for the perfect candidate and spend that time focusing on everything else that's on your plate. Listeners of This Is Love can get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/thisislove. Go to Indeed.com/thisislove right now and say you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/thisislove. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You might need Indeed.
Vox Creative.
This is advertiser content from 26.2 Team Milk and their new docuseries, Running Sucks.
Is running the worst?
Yeah.
Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I hate it so much. I hate it so freaking much.
That you're a real runner now!
I hate it.
I'm Abby Ayers, a 37-year-old mom from Utah who found herself running across the Manhattan Bridge in my first race ever.
Running Sucks celebrates women who run and the running communities that carry them across the finish line.
Running helped me in so many ways postpartum.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
For every person like you, I'm telling you, you belong, and I'm telling you, you can do it.
I never thought the words would leave my mouth, but yes, I'm planning on running a marathon. I can't even say it without laughing, because, like, who would have thought?
Watch Running Sucks at runningsucktheseries.com and learn more about how Team Milk is helping women runners across the country conquer their next course.
After auditioning for more than 20 years, Jean Westcott finally got the phone call. They wanted her to be on Jeopardy. She was told she would need to fly to California, but Jean was worried about COVID.
You know, I was like, you know, you're still nervous about going to the grocery store. You know, you're still nervous about like seeing your family. And I now, of course, this is when I'm going to be saying, oh, you need to get a hotel. You need to fly in a plane. So it was a little bit of the, of course, this is when. And then you also have the self-doubt. It's like, wait. They couldn't get anyone else, could they? You know? it's like, this worked out really well. And I still kind of have that feeling. And so, you know, it's like, I know I earned my spot, you know, but it's just one of these things where you're like, okay, they were desperate. And, but I still wasn't going to, I was never going to say no.
How did you start preparing for the show?
It was the Almanac again. And when I told my family that I was going to be on, like my siblings, my sister Beth said, you need to work on sports. And she asked me, what team has the first female manager? And I thought it was the Mets. And it was the Marlins. And my other sister was asking me about cocktail recipes because, you know, that's the kind of thing she thought I needed to practice.
So you had one sister calling you, telling you, saying, this is what is in a Manhattan. And another sister saying, got to figure out the sports. Did it feel like there was this whole community around you had been championing you for so many years that were now saying, oh, Jean, one more thing. Don't forget this. Book one, Genesis, is...
Yes. Yes, it was amazing. And that's I feel like I was living everybody's little dream for Jean. So it wasn't their dream, you know, but when anybody who was like truly loved me knew I loved this. And so they knew it was important to me.
In March 2021, Jean arrived at Sony Pictures Studios in Culver City. At the time, Jeopardy! Was going through a lot of change. The longtime host, Alex Trebek, had died the year before. He'd been the host since 1984 and hosted more than 8,200 episodes. While the producers searched for his replacement, guest hosts, including Anderson Cooper, Aaron Rodgers, and LeVar Burton, were going to fill in. What was it like walking out on that stage for the first time?
Surreal. The whole day is just, it's just step. You know, you can't take it in, you know, because you'll get overwhelmed. It was wonderful, terrifying, confusing, frustrating, all those things. And you're given a little COVID bag and they had hand sanitizer and bring you into a room. We were in the room, the studio where the audience would sit for Wheel of Fortune. And, you know, everything's all covered up. I could see the wheel, but it was all covered up.
Wait a second. Jeopardy! And Wheel of Fortune happen next to each other?
Yeah, they're two studios right next to each other.
In real life? Always?
Yeah. So it's not just on your television. Yeah. They're right next to each other on the Sony lot. Yep. And we found out who our host was going to be. We were all surprised because... they were just announcing that day the next set of hosts.
Her host would be Dr. Oz.
And there was no audience, so we would be each other's audience at that point. I think they sweetened the sound to make people sound like they're clapping when instead of the, you know, however many people, I think there were like 17 or 16 people.
A book publishing professional from Woodbridge, Virginia, Jean Westcott.
And I think I stayed very aloof. Like, I felt like I didn't let my nerves get to me.
In 2020, Kim Ng became the first woman general manager in Major League Baseball for this Florida team. Jean.
What are the Marlins?
Correct.
All right, 600 in Kim.
I really couldn't believe that one question that came from my sister who had been in that living room, you know, at this point, almost, you know, 50 years ago or 40-something years ago. And that exact question out of all the questions.
Brave 6-year-old Percival William Williams is known as Wee This from a book of nursery rhymes. Gene.
Who is Willie?
Yes, that's right. It's Wee Willie Winky.
And it was funny, like it's when you were playing for real, it took me a little while to realize I was playing for real. And I remember I felt like, wait, Gene, you're not doing the game you want to do. And so I started going for the clues at the bottom. I'm like, if I want to win, I have to start. Like there was a point where I remember it clicked and I was like, now.
Gene.
What is Eye of the Tiger?
Correct.
All right, 12 letter for 1,000.
Was it easier? I mean, was it harder than you thought? I mean, you've been playing for so long at home and in these auditions, but when you actually got up there and you had the buzzer in your hand, did you realize, well, this is really different?
You know, I think all those years of practice actually served me well. All the time, I was comfortable about the game.
It's time for Final Jeopardy. Here's your category. American history. Please make your wagers. We'll be back with the clue after this.
So what were you going into Final Jeopardy with, and how much did you bet?
I was going in at like 12,000, which is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I can't even remember the exact, but I had done pretty well. And I bet it all. I wanted to win as big as I could.
Well, you'd waited long enough.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We're in Final Jeopardy. The category, American history. Here's your clue. While performing in Philadelphia, the future father of this man sent a letter threatening to slit Andrew Jackson's throat. You have 30 seconds. Good luck.
I was like, what family would be around to be both pissed at Andrew Jackson? And I didn't know Abe Lincoln. And I came up with George H.W. Bush.
The correct response was John Wilkes Booth.
Gene, let me go to you. You have $12,800. Were you able to find that response?
Nope.
George Bush. He wasn't that old.
Aged him.
You wagered $12,798, which takes you to $2. Bryce, you have
$34,400. I knew I blew it, but I didn't think I would have been able to come up with it. I mean, that's the thing, that if it was something that I just got the name wrong, or I spelled wrong, or I had was just like I named the wrong beetle or something like that, that would have been disappointing. But I so brilliantly blew it. I was so wrong that I can't be mad at myself, you know. And it was like this exhale. And I was kind of proud of how badly I answered it.
After the show, Jean says she was exhausted. She called her family and broke the news that she didn't win. She drove around California, took pictures of Culver City, and flew home to Virginia the next day. The episode aired 6 weeks later. She watched it in her living room with her son and her husband. Her daughter was watching from Seattle. And when the episode ended, this thing that had been part of her life for more than 20 years was over.
I miss doing it so much. Like I would, you know, like everybody who's been on the show would be on it again in a minute.
Jean's father, the person who introduced her to Jeopardy, never got to see her play. He died in 2006, and they weren't in touch in the years leading up to his death.
So he never got to see that I kept to it. But I'm sure wherever he was throughout his life, if there was a TV on and Jeopardy was available, he was playing in that room as well.
Jean and her husband still watch every night. If you want to try out for Jeopardy today, you can take their online test on the show's website.
I would constantly be trying to encourage other people that I know, oh, you should do it, the online test, it's easy, you know.
Okay, so I just logged on to the adult practice test. And one of the questions is, in Genesis chapter 4, the Lord set a mark upon this brother, lest any finding him should kill him.
I forgot. I know, I'm like, is it Shem? Is it, no, I don't know. Oh, it's a, gosh.
You've done it, Jean. You don't have to answer one more question.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't have to answer any more questions. And I have the invitations that prove that I've passed.
That's right.
So many tests.
You have you have all the pens. You have all the buzzer pens.
I have all the pens. I have a hat. They gave me a hat. I have headphones. I have so much Jeopardy swag.
This Is Love is created by Lauren Spohr and me. Nadia Wilson is our senior producer. Katie Bishop is our supervising producer. Our producers are Susanna Robertson, Jackie Sajiko, Lily Clark, Lena Sillison, Sam Kim, and Megan Kinane. This episode was mixed by Veronica Simonetti. Engineering by Russ Henry. Learn more about the show on our website, thisislovepodcast.com. And sign up for our newsletter at thisislovepodcast.com/newsletter. You can listen to This Is Love without any ads by signing up for Criminal Plus. You'll also get to listen ad-free to our other shows, Criminal and Phoebe Reads a Mystery. Plus, you'll get bonus episodes and more. To learn more, go to thisiscriminal.com/plus. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at This Is Love Show. This Is Love is recorded in the studios of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. We're part of the Vox Media Podcast Network. Discover more great shows at podcast.voxmedia.com. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Love.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Celebrate Earth Month this April by harnessing the power of Mother Nature with Nature's Sunshine's new power line. From Power Greens with over 200 plant-based nutrients to support gut health and foundational nutrition, to Power Beets that can improve performance and blood flow. Not to mention Power Meal, which delivers plant-based calories from whole foods to help keep you both energized and feeling satisfied throughout the day. This Earth Month, you can enjoy 25% off your first order with code NSP. Just go to naturesunshine.com. That's naturesunshine.com and use code NSP for 25% off your first order.